At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Here is Adam Burke.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Monday, May 1st edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. I'm your host, Adam Burke. Happy to be with you as we kick off a new month, the second full month here of the Major League Baseball season. Lots to get to, including a comparison of April year over year. We'll talk about the sabermetric stats of the show, then get into the Monday card. Only eight games, one of them already underway. Game one in the doubleheader between the Braves and the Mets. So got seven games to get to that haven't started here yet on today's show. But before I do that, head on over to vsin.com. Get a lot of great stuff going on with our NBA and NHL playoff hubs. We'll have our Kentucky Derby betting guide coming out here on Wednesday. Yours truly will be handicapping the Kentucky Oaks this afternoon. And I'll have a preview of that in the betting guide. Also finalizing plans today for, well, tomorrow, I should say, for our college football betting guide. So we're not that far away from that, not that far away from football season when you think about it. So a good time to sign up over at vsin.com. Check out that $9.99 introductory offer and the other subscription options that we have available. And make sure you're checking out our podcast content, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. This one, VSiN Daily Baseball Bets, of course, Hardwood Handicappers for the NBA, Hockey Betting Podcast for the NHL, GM Shuffle with Femi Befefe and Michael Lombardi, Josh Applebaum's two shows with his Market Insights pod and also Morning Bets, all kinds of stuff for you to check out on our podcast channel over at VSiN.com. And also, if you have a Samsung TV and you have Samsung TV Plus, you can check out DKN, the DraftKings Network, on Samsung TV Plus. Some of our shows are broadcast, at least partial shows are broadcast on that channel to go along with the other content that DraftKings has. You can check that out at your leisure and certainly as you get a chance to do that. All right, so we got 1 month, a little over a month, in the books here for Major League Baseball. Let's take a look at how things stack up relative to previous seasons here. And I've talked about this a lot already on the show, and I'll continue to harp on this at least for another couple of weeks, where 2022 and 2023 are not exactly comparable. When you look at 2023, as we go through here just over a month of the season, batting average is .247, on base .321, slugging .405, a .298 batting average on balls in play. That's one of the big differences. The other big difference, 602 stolen bases to this point in time. Back in 2021, we only had 354 stolen bases in March and April, a .283 batting average on balls in play. So the BABIP up about 15 points from where it was at the start of the previous two seasons. That's why batting average is up. That's why slugging percentage is up as well. I think a lot of people think of just home runs and doubles when it comes to slugging percentage, but slugging percentage is total bases divided by at-bats. So singles do matter in that equation as well, and we are getting a lot more singles here this season with the pitch clock, the shift band, all those different types of things. Also, the strikeout percentage pretty even from where it was last year through the first month-ish of the season. Keep in mind, the 2022 season didn't start until April 7th. We had the lockout. We had the expedited spring training and all of that. But comparing 2023 to 2022, at least in terms of April statistics and the couple days we had in March for this season anyway, batting average up 17 points, on-base percentage up 14 points, slugging percentage up 36 points. So that's really the biggest difference, I would say. And again, BABIP having a lot to do with that. And keep in mind, the ball was remarkably dead last year. And I wrote about this in the intro to my article today over at vsin.com. But from April 7th to March 15th, which is kind of an arbitrary endpoint for this stat, but we did start to see offense tick up in the middle of the month of May, especially kind of with that foreign substance crackdown sort of, you know, really taking hold in a lot of ways once again. But we had the first part of 2022, a 234 average, 307 on base, 376 slugging. From May 16th through the rest of the season, 245 average, 313 on base, 400 slugging. So from May 16th of last year through the rest of the season, 245, 313, 400. The month of April here in 2023, 247, 321, 405. So basically what we saw from May 16th on last season is kind of what we've seen so far this season, at least in terms of an overall offensive profile. Strikeout rate is up a little bit, which is part of the equation. Also, home run to fly ball percentage is up a little bit for this season as well. But we're starting to see what the baseline for this year looks like. And frankly, it's probably not that far off from May 16th through the end of last year, except for an uptick in home runs. And as the weather does warm up, that should continue to be a thing. But I just want to kind of compare that because I know a lot of people have been looking at 2023 and 2022 and saying, oh, offense is up. Yes, it is. But offense was really depressed in the early part of last season and then picked up after the first six or so weeks of the year. Now, offense is ahead of the 2021 pace as well. However, we had a 24.4% strikeout percentage in March and April of 2021. Then, you know, we kind of saw things level off a little bit as Major League Baseball started paying attention to the foreign substances and all of that. So, you know, look, the thing that's tough about baseball is that every year there's something that changes throughout the course of the season. We've seen the ball change last year. We see the ball change every year pretty much. You know, a few years ago, we had humidors installed in every ballpark. That previously wasn't the case. Colorado is set differently than all of the other ballparks. But as we found out over the weekend, they didn't do it right in Mexico City, where we had that monstrous first game. And then it seems like maybe they turned the humidor down for the second game and really depressed offense without telling anybody. So that wouldn't be a surprise. I wouldn't put that past Major League Baseball at all whatsoever. But the biggest difference between 2021 and 2023 is that the strikeout rate is down quite a bit. You know, the home run to fly ball percentage was actually higher in 2021 in the month of April than it was here in 2023. It was just a matter of more strikeouts during that 21 season. And of course, that changed as we went forward throughout that year. So, you know, a lot of things to try and unpack and digest, but I think that unless there's some sort of fundamental change, whether it's to the baseball or whether they start cracking down more on what appears to be foreign substance use, stuff like that, I think this is the baseline for offense for now. And again, I think we could see a little bit of a power uptick as it gets warmer here throughout the late spring and summer months. All right, so let's get into the sabermetric stats of the day here today. And today I want to talk about the plate discipline statistics. You'll hear me talk a lot about chase rate. You'll hear me talk a lot about swinging strike percentage, stuff like that. So I want to talk about some of those metrics here on today's show in terms of not only evaluating pitchers, but also evaluating hitters, because this is stuff that can really help you from a player prop standpoint, can help you with your fantasy leagues as well, kind of looking at some of these discipline metrics because they'll help you in terms of day-to-day matchups. You know, if you've got a guy who swings and misses a lot against a starting pitcher generating a lot of chases and a lot of swings outside the zone, maybe that's a guy that, you know, you don't want to take if you're in those, you know, prize picks or daily fantasy or any of those kinds of things. You know, this stuff will help you in those markets as well, not just with, you know, handicapping the day-to-day baseball card. So I'm pulling these from FanGraphs. There are, I believe, 9 of them, and I'll add a 10th one, which you can find over at StatCast. But let's start with O-swing percentage. So O-swing percentage, very simple, and most of these are. O swing percentage is kind of the fancy way of saying chase rate. It's the percentage of pitches outside the strike zone a hitter swings at divided by pitches outside the zone. Now, chase rate is going to be a little bit different because that's just kind of an overall chase thing because that's a StatCast metric. O swing percentage is from Baseball Info Solutions and Pitch FX, but it swings at pitches outside of the zone divided by pitches outside the zone. So essentially, this is a metric of how patient are you as a hitter. Are you chasing a lot of pitches that are outside the zone? Or are you being disciplined? Are you being patient? Are you leaving those pitches alone? Then you've got Z swing percentage, which is swings at pitches inside the zone divided by pitches inside the zone. So when you get pitches to hit, are you swinging at them? Are you being aggressive in the zone? Do you have good pitch selection skills? Swing percentage, pretty obvious. Swings divided by pitches. How aggressive of a swinger are you? You know, a lot of guys just go out there and go up there hacking early in the count. Other guys will wait, work deep into counts, stuff like that. O contact percentage, pitches on which contact was made outside the zone, divided by swings on pitches outside the zone. So when you are swinging, when you are chasing pitches, are you making contact with them? Are you staying alive to fight off two strike pitches? Or when you're expanding the zone, are you swinging and missing a lot? And if you're a guy who chases but swings and misses a lot, and you're facing a pitcher who induces a lot of swings outside the zone, think about a guy like Shane Bieber, or you think about a guy like Corey Kluber in his prime getting guys to chase off that outside corner. You think about, you know, guys like Corbin Burns with that cutter that just runs away from everybody. Are you making contact when you're swinging outside the zone to stay alive, to put balls in play in two strike counts? Stuff like that. It's a very important skill to be able to make contact with pitches you swing at outside the zone, because if you make a mistake and swing, are you able to overcome it? Are you able to foul that pitch off? That's a really important thing because, you know, look, you may get, I've heard hitters talk about this before, you get one mistake per at bat, you know, and maybe that mistake hasn't come yet, but you foul off a tough pitch and the pitcher gets a little bit rattled, gets a little bit frustrated, thinks, ah, man, I should have had that one. Like, that should have been my strikeout. Then they leave something middle of the plate that you can do damage with. So these stats, I think, are all kind of, in the grand scheme of things, really overlooked. But I think that they can be extremely valuable for you, especially this one. And I really like this stat for pitchers, and that's Z contact percentage. So pitches on which contact was made on pitches inside the strike zone. So basically for pitchers, I like to look a lot at Z contact because you can't always get guys to chase, right? Guys just aren't always going to chase. But if you're getting a high rate of swings and misses inside the zone, that's a really, really good thing for you. That's something that's going to increase your margin for error. You're not going to have to go out there and get guys to chase and all of that. So that's a really, really positive type of thing for you if you're able to get those swings and misses on pitches that would be strikes otherwise. And that's usually a pretty good indicator of how good a guy's stuff is. If he's got, you know, I guess I should go ahead and do this. I'll talk about what the average numbers are here for some of these stats, and I'll kind of rattle these off once I get to the end of this list and kind of tie everything off that way. So I'll get back to zone contact percentage in a minute. Contact percentage, pitches on which contact was made divided by swings. You know, when you're swinging, are you making contact? If you're not, well, that's a pretty big problem, isn't it? Zone percentage, pitches in the strike zone divided by total pitches. Now, this one, look, there's kind of varying degrees of how much this matters, right? If you're getting a lot of chases, if you're getting a lot of swings and misses outside the zone, you don't need to throw as many pitches in the zone. Sometimes there is such a thing as throwing too many strikes. I think about guys like Josh Tomlin being guys like that, where Josh Tomlin would give up a ton of home runs on an annual basis, but he threw a lot of strikes. And this is something that happens a lot of times with guys that have really low walk rates. If they don't have great command, they'll give up a lot of home runs because they're in the zone just all the time. They got good control. They don't walk anybody. But the thing about not walking anybody is that guys will hit you hard from time to time because you're throwing so many pitches in the zone. So zone percentage can be both a good thing and a bad thing. F-strike percentage. This is one I really like to look at as well. This is first pitch strikes divided by plate appearances. Are you getting ahead in the count? Because it is crucial, it is critical to be able to get ahead in the count, because there is such a massive difference between being 1-0 and 0-1. A first pitch strike really sets up the plate appearance, gives you the opportunity to, you know, be able to attack a hitter the way that you want to. And if you're not throwing a first pitch strike, all of a sudden you're behind in the count. You're probably gonna have to throw more fastballs in that count. Certainly you don't want to fall behind 2-0, so you're likely to throw a fastball in a 1-0 count. First pitch strike percentage is really important. After a first pitch ball this season, batters hitting .261 with a .384 on base and a .446 slugging percentage. After a first pitch strike, though, batting .215 with a .262 on base, .338 slugging. So the difference between a first pitch strike and a first pitch ball so far this season, 36 points in batting average, 122 points in on-base percentage, and about 108 points in slugging percentage. That's really significant, to say the least. So the first pitch strike percentage, I think, is really important. Also, if I see a pitcher who's issuing an unusual amount of walks, stuff like that, I'll go and look at his first pitch strike percentage and say, oh, well, it's 47%. You know, no wonder he's not having as much success here. But if you're constantly getting ahead in the count, that's a really, really positive thing for you. And then finally, a stat that I use a lot, swinging strike percentage. Swings and misses divided by total pitches. Are you getting guys to swing and miss? Are you getting that increased margin for error by getting guys to go out there and not make contact with your pitches? So let's run through this here and kind of tie this together a little bit. The league average right now on O swing percentage, swinging at pitches outside the zone, 31.5%. Zone swing percentage, 67.8%. Swing percentage, 46.6%. Outside the zone contact percentage, 62.2%. Zone contact percentage, 85.2%. Again, that's a stat I look at a lot. If you're a guy with a Z contact percentage of 90%, that scares me. If you're a guy around 80%, that's really, really good, because you're getting guys to swing and miss on pitches in the strike zone. And that is a good indicator, as I mentioned, of the quality of your stuff. And this is just for pitchers as a whole. It's a little bit different for starters, because they have, you know, they have to work deeper into the arsenal. They don't throw as hard, stuff like that. This is pitchers overall, but you can find this information over at FanGraphs. The average first pitch strike percentage, 60.5%. So if you're below 50%, that's a problem. If you're up around 70%, that's quite good. And then the swinging strike percentage, 11.1%. So that's pretty high. You know, when you think about 11% of total pitches getting swings and misses, that's still pretty high. So, you know, if you're a guy in the 15% range, that's fantastic. If you're a guy down in single digits, that's not so good, because the thing about a swing and miss is it's not a ball in play. It's a good thing no matter what, basically, to get a swing and miss. So if you've got a low rate of swinging strike percentage, that's really problematic for sure. So you can toy around with these. You can look at them as you're kind of digging into the pitchers and all that kind of thing. But again, I think the primary takeaways here, oh, by the way, whiff percentage, which is over at StatCast, that's a different kind of metric. And you can see that on a pitch-by-pitch basis. That's basically just swings and misses divided by swings. That has nothing to do with total pitches. And I do like to look at whiff percentage in terms of, you know, stats on specific pitches. But a few takeaways here just to kind of sum this all up. I know I threw a lot at you, a lot of numbers, a lot of terms. So I just want to sum this up a little bit. O swing percentage is a big deal. Inducing chases is really important. Why? Because guys swing and miss at pitches outside the zone, and exit velocity is much, much lower when you make contact with a pitch that's not in the strike zone, that's not in the hitting area, right? You're getting jammed, you're reaching, you're hitting the bottom of the ball, you're hitting the top of the ball, all those kinds of things. So a high O swing percentage or chase rate, as defined by StatCast, that's a really good thing. A low one is a problem, because you're generally going to give up much harder contact in that situation and typically have fewer swings and misses. For Z contact percentage, league average about 85-86%. If you can be above that, or if you can be below that, that's great, because it means you're getting swings and misses inside the zone. If you're well above that, you're not getting swings and misses inside the zone. guys will eventually end up probably hitting you pretty hard. First pitch strike percentage, really important. League average, about 60%. Got to get ahead in the count. As I outlined, the difference between ball one and strike one, really, really big from a pitching and hitting standpoint, quite frankly. Again, about 38.4% of the time after a first pitch ball, a hitter's getting on base. Where on the flip side, a first pitch strike, 26.2% of the time, a hitter's getting on base. That's a really big deal. Then, of course, I'm just a big fan of swings and misses no matter what. You know, it's very important to get guys to swing and miss because then it's not a ball in play. Bad things don't happen when you get swings and misses. So those plate discipline stats, you can find them at FanGraphs. You can also find them at StatCast. They are a little bit different between the two sources, although FanGraphs does incorporate StatCast data now as well. So when you go to the player pages over there and look at the pitchers specifically, you'll see, you know, Pitch FX, you'll see Baseball Info Solutions, and you'll see StatCast. You can kind of compare and contrast across those three sources. Coming up on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets, my thoughts on the Monday card.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
All right, we're back here on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Rate, review, subscribe, five-star reviews. Definitely very much appreciated here on the show. And as I said, I know I threw a lot at you with those sabermetric stats of the day, but hopefully, you know, kind of summing it up there helped a little bit. But hit me up on Twitter, at Skating Tripods, or you can email me, aburke@vsin.com. If there's anything you want to talk about from a baseball standpoint or otherwise, since I cover a lot of stuff over at vsin.com, please feel free to reach out. You know, I know I've had some positive feedback, some people saying a lot of good things about the podcast. I very, very much appreciate that, but I'm here to help. I'm happy to be a resource for you. So hit me up on Twitter or shoot me those emails if you ever have any baseball questions. All right, so one game in action already as the Braves are blowing out the Mets in game one. I assume six runs is probably enough for Spencer Strider in game one. We'll see if the Mets have any fight in them. But, you know, for game two here, Charlie Morton and Tyler McGill, couple of things. You know, Denny Reyes giving up six runs early on in this game, not being able to work deep into game one, that's really problematic. And I kind of touched, I think, on my doubleheader strategy maybe a few shows ago because we had a few of them. But look, you know, it's very tough when you blow up the bullpen in game one because, you know, if you get a bad start in game two, you don't really have a lot of bodies. You have to leave the starting pitcher out there. He could be getting his skull caved in, but you have to leave him out there because you're going to go, look, man, we need 85 pitches out of you. I know this sucks, but we need 85 pitches out of you because we got nothing from our starter in game one. So now all of a sudden, Tyler McGill winds up being in a pretty difficult spot there. In the second game here in this doubleheader, or because Denny Reyes only made it one inning and, you know, he threw 37 pitches in that inning. Now they've already gone to the bullpen. Do you get the bleeding to stop? Do you get a pretty, you know, lengthy relief appearance to where you don't use everybody? We'll have to wait and see how that kind of plays out. But, you know, I typically don't like to do anything with game two until I can see game one. Then I kind of read and react, you know, who played, did anybody come out? You're in a situation now with the Braves up 6-2 or 6-1 in the second inning as I'm recording. Maybe you don't have to play everybody for all of game one. So everybody's kind of fresher going into game two, stuff like that. So that's definitely a possibility here. But for Tyler McGill, you know, FIP hates him, a FIP over six, because he's given up some home runs, 19-12 strikeout to walk ratio. And he's running an 87.1% left on base percentage. So his ERA is under four. But there are some concerns here with McGill, to be sure. And of course, any matchup against the Braves, a little bit difficult. And for Charlie Morton, 2.76 ERA, 4.37 FIP, some negative regression signs in his profile as well. With that being said, the strikeout rate's been up in his last four starts, double-digit swinging strike percentage in each of his last four starts, good hard hit percentage against. Morton's looking a lot better here after that first start of the season against the Cardinals. So maybe the old dog still has some tricks left in that bag. But I would say this, kind of based on how game one is playing out for the Mets here, it makes me kind of like the Braves for game two, this 1:40 Pacific time scheduled first pitch. So I don't know if I'll end up playing it or not, but kind of the way that game one is shaking out has me a little bit more interested in game two. Run down the board here by rotation number. Interesting game in DC between Drew Smyly and Mackenzie Gore, where you've got the Cubs anywhere from $1.25 to $1.35 favorite out there. Total of 8.5 in this one. Wind will be blowing out a little bit, so we'll see if that helps the offenses. But how about Drew Smyly? How good has this cat been this season? Of course, I was on him in the Cubs in his first start where he gave up 7 runs on 4 2/3, where he had the Cubs scored 3 runs in the top half of an inning twice, and he gave it all back both times. And then wound up, they lost that game. It was kind of a back-and-forth affair, but I do remember that they lost that game. But since then, Smiley's allowed 4 runs in 4 starts in his last 23 1/3, 24 strikeouts. And the Dodgers twice, the Mariners, the Padres, those are pretty decent offenses. I mean, the Dodgers are not hitting lefties at all. They're a bottom 5 offense against lefties. But still, I mean, Smyly doing very, very well here in his last 4 starts. Hard hit percentage for the year, just 26.7%. When you're limiting hard contact, you can run out lower BABIP. You can have a higher left on base percentage. And look, his hard hit percentage ranks in the 92nd percentile this year. So Drew Smyly has been great. And quite frankly, Smiley's been good when he's been healthy. He's just rarely been healthy, and that's been the problem. But the Nationals, as I've talked about before, they're a top 10 offense against lefties. They've been good. And Smyly really hasn't been challenged all that much. The Mariners are dead last. The Dodgers are in the bottom 5. The Reds are 21st, even though they knocked him around a little bit. The Padres are pretty league average. But I still couldn't take the Nationals here in this one and back that angle of lefties against this Washington offense, because Mackenzie Gore draws a top 5 Cubs offense against left-handed pitching in this one. And Gore's been good, 35 strikeouts in 27 innings, but he's also walked 16 guys, and that's a big problem for Mackenzie Gore. And when you're looking for regression signs, guys who issue a lot of walks, they have a good chance of having one of those huge blow-up starts where they give up 6-7 runs over 3 innings, something like that, because they walk 4 guys and, you know, everything kind of falls apart. That's something I could see for Mackenzie Gore in one of his upcoming starts. Don't think it'll be the case for Smyly. Still couldn't lay the $1.35 or play the total in this one, but watching a lot of things in that game for sure. Speaking of things I'm watching, we got the Reds and the Padres here. Luke Weaver, Blake Snell. Padres, 205 to 225 favorites out there, depending on where you shop around. Total of 8.5 for this game. So Blake Snell, it doesn't look good right now. The spin rates are down, kind of at career lows almost, on both the slider and the curveball. Hard hit percentage is up to 43.1%. Barrel percentage, 12%. He's walking a bunch of guys. He's walked 17 batters in his last 18 2/3. This is a really important start for Blake Snell, because you have to understand that, you know, he's faced the Braves twice, who just decimate lefties, and a Cubs team that's top 5 against lefties. The Reds are a bottom 10 offense against lefties. So, and they're really bad on the road. You know, I talked about that before. You have to handicap the Reds differently on the road than you do at home. This is a really, really important start here for Blake Snell, because the raw stuff doesn't look good. The results don't look good. And some of it could have been the quality of competition, but some of it may be something else, a mechanical issue, an injury, confidence, whatever the case may be. I'd really like to see him shut down the Reds here in this game to have any faith in him going forward. And if he doesn't, then I have no faith in him going forward. Now, of course, guys make mechanical adjustments and all that kind of thing, but this is a really, really important start for Blake Snell. And the run numbers don't look quite as bad in the game logs, but that's just because he doesn't work deep into games. This is a critically important start for Blake Snell. And if he is bad, that's going to say a lot going forward for me. The Phillies and the Dodgers here. Taijuan Walker, who left his last start with forearm tightness, feels better. MRI came back okay. So here he goes tonight against the Dodgers and Tony Gonsolin. Gonsolin only went 3 1/3 in his first start, only went 3 innings in his minor league rehab start. He's probably in line for about 80 pitches today. So keep that in mind. And sometimes, you know, the player props don't necessarily account for the fact that a guy is going to have an abbreviated start. So keep that in mind with a guy like Gonsolin, where he may only go 5 innings in this game because he's, you know, going to be at about 75 or 80 pitches. May not even go that far. They may take it really easy with him because they do have some existing pitcher concerns already and kind of want to bring him along, you know, a little bit slowly. So tough to lay the Dodgers price today. Their bullpen had to work a little bit in that series against the Cardinals. But I want to get back to Walker for a second because, you know, for Taijuan Walker, 4.97 ERA, 5.28 FIP, 25 1/3 innings, low hit total, but he's issued 14 walks in 5 starts. The Dodgers have the best walk rate in baseball by 1.3%. They're at 11.9%. The Mets are second at 10.6. So the Dodgers are a really, really patient team, and Walker's had some issues with his control. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here in this one. No play, though, but just kind of looking to see how Walker does against a really patient lineup that draws a lot of free passes. The Guardians and the Yankees, I couldn't bet this game with anybody else's money, not even my own worst enemy. Cal Quantrill, Domingo Germán in this one. Remember Domingo Germán had those 5 no-hit innings against the Twins, struck out 11 and 6 1/3? Well, since then, since getting checked for foreign substances and having to go wash his hands during the game, he's got 14 strikeouts in 12 innings. That's great. But he's also allowed 10 runs on 10 hits. 5 of the 10 hits have been home runs. So we'll see if Cleveland can actually hit the ball hard tonight for the first time all season. But there's not a whole lot of reason to trust Cal Quantrill either. And for Cal Quantrill, a little bit unlucky. 330 BABIP on balls in play with a 36.2% hard hit percentage. But that's the risk you run when you're a pitch to contact guy and you don't get a lot of swing and miss. I talked all about swings and misses earlier on in the show, the importance of them, how they increase your margin for error. They put you into more advantageous counts. Cal Quantrill doesn't get those. He doesn't get a lot of swings and misses. So balls in play, always subject to a lot of variance. For whatever reason, the Guardians aren't as good defensively this season as they were last year. So I have no idea how this game plays out. But the one thing that's concerning about Quantrill, yes, there's some bad luck in there, but also he's faced the Mariners twice, including a start at T-Mobile Park, the Nationals, the Tigers, and the Rockies in Cleveland. And he's got a 5.40 ERA with a 4.70 FIP. That ain't good, people. That ain't good at all. So we'll see if Quantrill bounces back to any degree here today. But Tanner Bibee gets a start in this series, and I'm very excited about that. So the Blue Jays and the Red Sox here, the only other game in the American League. Look, I honestly don't know if Jose Berrios is fixed or not. He gave up 14 runs in his first 9 2/3 of the season, but he's allowed 3 runs on 11 hits in his last 19 innings against the Rays, Astros, and then the White Sox, which Chicago is the biggest dumpster fire I've seen so far this season. And I'm kind of stunned by it, to be honest with you. But Berrios, it looks like he's made some mechanical changes. His vertical release point up a little bit, getting some more tilt on his pitches. Horizontal release point has changed as well. That's something that we've seen Rich Hill make an adjustment with, and he's been much more effective. A little bit more separation between the changeup and the sinker from a velocity standpoint for Berrios. And we'll see how that changeup looks today. Because the one thing about what Berríos has seen here recently is that he hasn't seen a lot of lefties. And traditionally, this is a guy with pretty big platoon splits. Lefties will knock him around. Righties, he's been generally good against outside of, you know, giving up some home runs, because he's one of those guys that throws a lot of strikes. He doesn't walk people, and home runs happen when you don't walk people. But over his last three starts, he hasn't seen a lot of lefties. And today he'll see some pretty decent ones. And a guy like Rafael Devers, Masataka Yoshida, Tristan Casas isn't really hitting well yet, but he's another left-handed batter in that Red Sox lineup. I think this is a good litmus test kind of start for Berríos. So we'll see what he does here in this outing, but I think a lot of people are going to load up on the Blue Jays today and take his newfound success and fade Corey Kluber in hell. I mean, Corey Kluber is probably worth fading at this point in his career. And it's a bummer for me, having seen him at his prime, which he kind of reached a little bit later at kind of more of an advanced age. It's a bummer to see, you know, I mean, his average exit velocity is the highest it's ever been. Hard hit percentage, the highest it's ever been. Strikeout percentage, the lowest it's ever been. He just hasn't been very good. And Berríos has in his last three starts. So maybe some recency bias here. And I think a lot of people will take a look at the Blue Jays in this game. But this is a good test for Berríos. And I want to see what he ends up doing with it. So I'll be watching this game closely. No play on it. But I do want to see if, you know, if he's really fixed, or if this is just kind of, you know, maybe some small sample size variants where he's kind of in a groove and, you know, may kind of revert back to his old ways. One interleague game tonight, and it's the only play that I have on today's card. It's the Giants and the Astros here. Astros, $1.80 to $1.90 favorite, total 8.5 in this game. Ross Stripling going for the Gigantes, and you got Luis Garcia going for the Astros here. And Ross Stripling is a guy who really hasn't been able to get into the rhythm of the season here. Giving up 13 runs on 20 hits and 15 and two thirds. He's given up 6 home runs. Yeah, a lot of hard contact. And the thing about Ross Stripling is he's not a guy who throws hard. He's kind of a finesse command guy. He doesn't issue a lot of walks typically either, but that means his command has to be really good because he doesn't have a ton of swing and miss upside in the profile. But this year, average exit velocity is almost 91 miles per hour. Hard hit percentage, 44%. He's a guy with a career 35.7% hard hit percentage. So the command is just not there at all. And I don't know that it's going to be taking on this Astros lineup that does have Yordan Alvarez back. He came back on Saturday, should be good to go in this game. So I don't really love this spot or this situation for Stripling. And then Luis Garcia has gotten a lot better here. You know, that's a guy who had some issues early on with the pitch clock because of his long windup procedure and all that kind of thing. But 13 shutout innings in his last two starts, 16 strikeouts against 3 walks in the games against the Blue Jays and the Rays. Those are two pretty good lineups, to say the least. In those two starts, a 14.8% hard hit percentage, average exit velocity 83.1%. They've made an adjustment. Fewer fastballs, more cutters. I definitely like that for him. Also for the Giants, Mike Yastrzemski going out is a big deal. 131 WRC plus. He's going for an MRI on his groin. Expected to be put on the, or on his hamstring, I mean. Expected to be put on the injured list. That's a big deal because you need bats toward the bottom of the order to kind of lengthen the lineup for you. Yastrzemski was doing that. If he goes out, the bottom of that order suddenly looks a lot different. Plus, they lose a big left-handed bat there in Yastrzemski, a guy who, you know, has done well against guys like Luis Garcia. So that's a concern for them as we go forward here with how shallow that lineup kind of gets now. So Giants bullpen had some issues over the weekend. Astros, big advantage in the starting pitching department. Don't like a whole lot on today's card, but laid the Astros run line -1.5, +120. Typically don't like doing that with a home team, because they're only going to bat 8 times and could win by 1. But I think they have a big advantage in the starting pitching department here. And of course, they've just been more engaged of late here, you know, kind of beating some good teams, stuff like that. I think it's a good spot here for the Astros to jump out on Stripling with Garcia really settling in nicely. So that's the only play for tonight. Astros run line -1.5, +120. Not a great card, to say the least. Should have more tomorrow as we get back to a full dance card in Major League Baseball. And I'll be back once again tomorrow with a new edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. I will talk to you again tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.